Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter of this edition of Senior Focus. And it's a wonderful day in Auckland today as I'm making this recording. I'm reminded that there's a free open day on the 20th of August, which is next Wednesday, between 10 and 2, at 98 Captain Springs Road, Onehunga. And this is an opportunity for you to have a hands-on experience with the Rogers Theatre organ, the Lowry organ, and the Clavinet Nova piano. So you can meet fellow music enthusiasts, musicians, or people who are interested in just checking this opportunity out. So it's for music lovers of all ages and all skill levels. It's a welcoming event, and the Organ, Piano and Keyboard Society of Auckland have set this up as a free exploratory day for all types and everyone, beginners, returning players, people who always wish they'd tried something, and this is your chance to explore and connect and be inspired. I was talking with Barbara, who organises the events calendar for this organisation, and she was telling me about some absolutely wonderful stories of seniors who 40 years ago were active musicians playing and enjoying music, and over the years they had just dropped away, but through this organisation they began again, and they recovered old memories. They had their fingers and their feet working well again. Some have lost their arthritic pains, and many have been utterly delighted at the joy and the pleasure that they've got out of belonging. So come along and check them out, see what's on offer, and have a great time enjoying yourself at 98 Captain Springs Road, Onehunga. Now, I have undertaken to let people know about upcoming concerts. And why do I do this? It's not because I'm short of things to say. It's simply because music is one of those key experiences that helps unlock memory and unlock cognitive lost skills and brain cells, and it's like gardening. It generates, and done socially with others, it becomes a regenerator of spirit, mind and body. So we're interested in anything that helps people age well, and getting involved with music, getting involved with gardening are two ways of having really delightful experiences that enrich you and improve your quality of life. And if you don't believe me, just try an experiment. Okay, so today's session, I want to concentrate on our economy in Auckland. And why do I want to talk about Auckland's economy? Because for the seniors that live in Auckland, we are in the next 10 years going to be 25% of the population. And quite a lot of businesses at the moment are not very aware of this fact. So they're not looking ahead, and they're not catering for the sorts of services or the type of deliveries that would improve things for seniors. So I've got an interest in Auckland's economy because if we've got a high unemployment rate, higher than the rest of New Zealand, than the average, then that suggests that lots of businesses are struggling and not doing well. And it also suggests that the sorts of people who would have time to care for us or extend services to us or include us in their thinking might not do so because of the pressures they're under. So it's really good to understand what's happening around us and what's influencing that. And it seems to me that I can't do better than quote from Simon Wilson in today's Herald. On A7, he's a senior writer covering politics, the climate crisis, transport, housing, urban design and social issues, the very things that we talk about on this program. And what he has been saying is that the Auckland unemployment rate is 6.1% compared with 5.2% for the rest of New Zealand. And our economic growth for the year was negative, minus 1.3% compared with 1.1% elsewhere. Now, of course, that elsewhere figure is a generalised figure across the whole country, but in parts of the South Island, things are really booming. They're very different. Only 44% of businesses are optimistic at the moment, according to the Auckland Business Chamber, and that's down from 51% in a previous survey in May. Now, also, homelessness has increased rapidly. So there's been a 90% increase since September last year. So the City Mission outreach teams have counted 809 people in the city who were unsheltered, homeless. And I know myself from just seeing how many people are outside the City Library, for example, at night. It's from a handful risen dramatically to 20 or 30 people. And the queues for food, which is delivered outside the library certain nights of the week, those queues are double what they used to be. The thing is, how are we going to fix all this, or who's going to fix it? And last week, the Business Chamber Chief Executive Simon Bridges was suggesting that corporates need a tax cut. That's a great laugh, but whether he was joking or not, because corporate Auckland has done very well in the last 5 years and no one else has, the banks with their profits and some of the big service companies and the power companies and so on, they don't really need any kind of tax relief. But they probably need some kind of conscience top up, says Simon Bridges and Simon Wilson. So they both seem to be on a similar page here. But what is the way forward? I mean, how can you stimulate the economy? What can be done? And who could be doing it? And Simon Wilson actually describes some parcels of capital, some actual funds that could be targeted, that could be utilised. For example, Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei, the iwi, has $1.5 billion in assets, and they have a plan, an economic plan, a 100-year plan. But that's not integrated into the planning of our city. And you compare that to Tainui or Naitahu, where they have plans that dovetail in with the cities that are at the heart of their land, their whenua. So, yeah, there's a question or two to be had there and some homework to be done. While Christopher Luxon has expressed that he doesn't see how a special package could be applied to Auckland, Simon Wilson's come up with a five-point plan to save the city, and I think it's worth my outlining the basis of it, because I know there's quite a lot of people who no longer read the Herald for varying reasons, and I thought, yeah, this is worth knowing about. So the first one, of course, is to do something about transport and to invest in fast-tracked transit. Now, Simon's quite specific. He says he doesn't have a fixed view on which should come first, whether it should be busways or further light rail transit options. He even mentions gondolas at one point, and certainly rapid buses. And so all of these options could be on the table. What he's saying is that at the moment we've got the handbrakes on the economy and on business, and we need to lift those handbrakes. We need to look carefully at what's available. So one area is the KiwiSaver funds, because they're long-term funds that can be invested in infrastructure, and that's done in many countries in the world, and it's actually helped in Germany and Holland and places like that. Pension funds are used to build housing, so people have long-term rentals that are affordable and they don't have to move around frequently and move their kids out of different schools and into other schools. They can actually belong in the community and put down roots and be productive. And that's what we really need. We need people off the survival level so that they can contribute not only to their own well-being but to the well-being of the community. Now, Simon Wilson actually quotes Sam Stubbs, whose KiwiSaver contributions are going to be very important, because Simplicity, his KiwiSaver options, have grown extremely rapidly, and so there's a lot of money there. But it's not just Sam Stubbs KiwiSavers, it's all these different KiwiSavers, and there's 78 providers currently. And as Auckland has got the population, you can just imagine those people in the population contributing to KiwiSaver living in Auckland. That is a huge pool of money, and it works out to be about $295 billion, and that's money that's some of which is available long term that could be used for projects. So amongst those fast tracked options, Simon Wilson is talking about North Shore Line, City Centre to the airport, Botany to the airport, Westgate to Albany, and Avondale to Onehunga. So those are transit routes, and what goes on them, what type of transport system. He's not going to be drawn on that, but he's saying that those are the urgent ones, the Northwest Busway and the Eastern Busway. So it's very clear that there is money, there is options, but at the moment the government is fixated on building these roads of national significance, in particular the road to Northland, as a four-lane superhighway. And Simon Wilson is saying, do we actually need a four-lane superhighway? Couldn't we have a two-lane highway with some passing bays here and there, and devote the rest of the money to improving public transport where it's needed to reduce the congestion, to get people moving across Auckland faster and to improve productivity? Talking about options, we need to also consider what's happening with energy, because that underpins the production in manufacturing, and all businesses are using energy, whether it's transport, fuel, whether it's lighting and heating. Nobody's able to live without energy use. So our long-term energy costs have been going up, and so very rapidly in the last year the increase has been in the region of about 30% for businesses, and that's huge. It's a nightmare, really, for businesses. It's very hard to recover that from the point of sale income at retail level. You just can't put up your price at 30%. So it's an area of economic policy that the government really needs to look at. Now, there's talk about how things have to change in terms of who's in the big energy companies and how they function. I'm not going to go into that. But the quickest fix is solar, and it's the cheapest way to generate power. And we now have batteries to store that power, which means we can get the power when we need it, not just having it in the daytime when maybe that isn't where our peak use is. So Simon's suggestion about solar makes a great deal of sense, as does his use of KiwiSaver funds. His third thing that he wants to see dealt with is home building, or the residential construction sector that needs a restructure. And he's commented on how most of what's been happening that's negative in this area has been triggered by the destruction of Kaiangaroa's social and affordable housing program. So that's state housing that was planned on the books to be built, and at least 390 homes that I'm aware of have been stopped. But there's many, many more projects axed in the last few weeks we've heard about. So they're spread out across the country, but many of them were to be in Auckland. Now, the country's lost 17,000 construction workers, and most of those have gone from Auckland. It's also clear that the government has got the power to stimulate the economy, to stimulate building, to stimulate investment, but it's chosen not to do that. It's also had some impact through the way it's disrupted education, because the politics were on a process of being integrated into a new structure, and that's now changing. So that hasn't helped. But most of all, we really need the reinstatement of the projects that are cancelled or put on hold. That, it seems to be the most critical thing that could improve outcomes. We've now got a situation where the importing of construction products has been improved, and we haven't got the shortages that we had. So we need to attract the workers back. We need to get investment in the projects and get the projects up and running. And it will be a real indictment of this government if that isn't happening, if that doesn't eventuate. Now, his fourth point was that we need to have modern freight management. And I thought about this, and initially I was thinking, oh, well, you know, we've got some very good companies that are top in their field in the world. So I wasn't quite sure what he was going to say. But his main point is that the government hasn't got a good grasp of how this industry works, and so the government's view of it is stuck in the 1980s. We have got, for example, down on the waterfront, we've got valuable land taken up with empty containers, and we're using the waterfront as a freight depot. That's just not good sense. Doesn't make economic sense. And we've got trucks clogging up the highways and making those roads not efficient, but Not only that, they're even dangerous for some people in some situations. So we need a far more functional rail network, including a fourth rail line to get the goods to inland ports and off the waterfront quickly and efficiently, and a rail line to Marsden Point. Now, I've heard many people saying comments to this effect over the last 3 or 4 years. But it appears that it's falling on deaf ears as regards this government. So government ministers seem to be just myopically spending billions on more and more roads. And as we know, that can produce more car ownership, but it's not going to solve these problems that we've brought up today. I've already said how we could have a road to Northland that would achieve what we need, but doesn't have to be a four-lane super luxury expressway. There is the problem of the Port of Tauranga and the traffic coming across, and so that east-west link highway between Penrose to Otahu is really to be part of a jigsaw to help deal with the transport of goods in and out of the Port of Tauranga. But moving a metro port away and freeing up the isthmus land for housing would be a much better option, says Simon. And I very much agree with him. Now, his fifth point is about big events, because events are just vital to the life of the city, and they bring in millions with all the visitors that come to spend. And they bring the vibe and the hype, and they keep people smiling. But Auckland's current schedule of events is going downhill. We're seeing fewer events on the calendar. The program's getting lighter. And this isn't going to help us in the long term at all. And I see that Wayne Brown today has been calling for a bed tax and asking the government to change its mind and permit Auckland to have a bed tax. It doesn't fit with the Minister of Tourism view of things. Even though she says that she's supporting Auckland, it's hard to see how, the statistics are showing that Auckland is sliding backwards. We do need these things that Simon's suggested, because they're all key issues. They're all issues where there's underinvestment, underplanning, and under long-term solutions. No, the need to have long-term solutions, planning, and investment is absolutely critical, and it's got to really be bipartisan. It's got to move away from just the 3-year political term and people being myopically focused on whether they're going to get re-elected. And it's just very, very annoying to think that there's real opportunity for Auckland out there, but it's not being coordinated. It's not being on the table in a way that's constructive long-term, and so it's not actually going to... What's been proposed up to now is not actually going to improve things at all. I wish I had better news. In the meantime, I would suggest that one of the things that you can do is keep going out socially, keep meeting with your friends for coffee, because it's the small businesses that wait on you and serve you that need your spare $5 if you've got it. Certainly we need to support local entities in our neighbourhoods, because they are really struggling. And I know, and I don't want to talk about how that's happening, but the impact is shown with the number of young people that are out there trying to get work. And I hear from many seniors about how they are trying to keep the spirits of their grandchildren up as they help them with their CV writing and interviewing skills and so on, and encouragement when they come back very downhearted, not being able to get anything. And this seems to be a lot worse than it ever was in previous times. So it's just an indictment of how it is. And I think it's important to know this, because you might be tempted to make a pull your socks up comment to a young person. But really, it's not actually going to help them in this environment and this kind of pressure and competition and stress. So listening and supporting can be very effective. And talking to people, just giving people a nod and saying, oh, I've got a really eager teen in my family and my whānau who's looking for work. And with that, you never know what might come of it. So, you know, I always say, look on the bright side and keep encouraging. Now, I am going to suggest that our program's drawing to a close, and I hope that you'll be with us in the future. We've got some very interesting things coming up, and I'm looking forward to having a mayoral candidate on the air next week, and then following that, the Utilities Commission applying someone from Wellington to tell us about disputes with power companies and other utility companies. So keep listening and enjoy your week.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
If you want to drink, it's your business. If you want to stop, we can help. Tune in to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting every Sunday morning from 10:45 a.m. planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air.
Feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, stress, burnout? Hard to ground yourself or focus on a task? Mantra yoga is a lifeline for the body and mind. Do you want to improve your alertness, improve your nervous system, your health, and express yourself properly? Join us every Tuesday from 9 p.m. on 104.6 Planet FM, or listen online at planetaudio.org.nz Mantra Yoga.
I like and love Auckland because it's very green and it's very natural. I live here from the last long time, so I love it.
Loving Auckland.
I just love our community, but I love Auckland for its buzz.
I love Auckland for its buzz.
It's a playground out there.
The thing that I really like is the cultural diversity, the many languages, and the enrichment through all the different cultures, faiths. I think that's fascinating.